Michelle alcoholic. It's funny, he just said, you know, if you have a desire to be the 10-minute speaker, let him know. I did not let him know. That didn't happen in this case. But I read more about alcoholism really well a couple weeks ago, and they thought maybe that would mean I speak well as well. So a little bit about myself. I did just take 8 years of sobriety. My sobriety birthday is actually the same as my belly button birthday. They were both October 21st. I got sober on my 22nd birthday, and it was horrible that day. I was hungover. I was sick. But it's pretty cool to have it the same now. It really is. And if I drink, I'll have to drink for a whole year to make sure it's on my birthday again. And I'm pretty sure that will not work out. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is just stay sober one day at a time. So I was born October 21st. I grew up here in San Diego. I grew up in Scripps Ranch. And I had a great childhood. The outside was great. My parents loved me. I have an older brother who was my playmate and best friend for a long time. I was into sports. I did well in school. And I don't remember much about it, though, because as it turns out, I believe I was born an alcoholic, so I was very self-centered from the beginning. And so a lot of my time spent was spent daydreaming. I was always somewhere else. I was always thinking about where I wasn't and where I wanted to be and what it might be like. And I didn't have a drink of alcohol until about a month before my 18th birthday. My father kept me very accountable. He let me do a lot of fun things, but he made sure I checked in with him. So if I went to the movies with Ashley, I'd have to say, "Dad, I'm going to the movies with Ashley." And then if we went to Ashley's house after, I'd say, "Dad, I'm going to go to Ashley's house after." And so I learned very early on to check in constantly with my father. And that was his main deal. When I was 16, I got arrested for street racing illegally. And his big beef was not that I was street racing illegally. It was that I didn't call to tell him. That's what I learned. And then I went away to college. I went away to college at, well, before that even. So again, I was born an alcoholic, I believe, and I had no life skills whatsoever. And I learned how to live life based on trial and error. And a story I've shared before, but I haven't shared it here, so I'm going to. When I was about, I don't know, 4 or 5, we were going to have a block party on our street. And my mother yelled upstairs, "Michelle, are you ready?" And I said, "I'm ready." And she said, "Are you wearing underwear?" And I said, "Yes," even though I wasn't. I lied. And she believed me, and I thought to myself, well, this works. Lying is a very effective tool for getting by. And I did get caught, but it didn't matter. So about 4 or 5, I learned how to lie. I learned that was an effective way of being. I learned how to daydream early on. I learned that being present was not necessary. And I also believe I had an older brother, like I said, and after working the steps, I realized that I loved him. He was my best buddy. He was my hero. And later in life, when he got interested in girls, I felt very abandoned by that. And I made a decision then to not get close to anybody again, because if I got close to people, it hurt when they left. And so I know how to lie now. I know how to daydream and be apart from, and I know not to get close to you and let you close to me. And this is before I even had a drink. So then I go away to college, and I went to UC Davis up in Northern California. And I was in a dorm, and I remember the first night, which was about a month before my 18th birthday, everyone in the dorm was like, "We're going to go out and go to a frat party." And I was like, "Yeah, let's do it." And so we went out to find some alcohol. And none of us were 21, and the frat scene was pretty big there. So we go from party to party, and we are just not successful. We just cannot seem to get any alcohol. And then we finally go to this one party, and I separate from the group, and I go down to where it seems like people are having red cups, and I find the keg. And I get a red cup full of beer, and I chug it. And I remember, like, I drank it, and it was, like, heady, cheap beer, and I burped some of it up. And then I got another cup, and I chugged that. And then I got another cup, and I drank that. And then I went back to my friends. They said, "Did you find any alcohol?" I said, "Nope." Because I was sure there was not going to be enough for me already. Because I drank so much so quickly, and I knew I was going to get drunk. I was like, "I'm going to get drunk that night." So, like, I ate almost nothing for dinner because I knew that I could get drunk faster if I didn't have anything in my stomach. And, like, this is before I even had a drink. Like, I was already, like, ready. And so I got drunk, I got buzzed. I remember getting in that warm glow, and I think that was the first and only time I've ever had it. And I remember feeling comfortable around people, you know, these strangers. I didn't know any of them, and I was comfortable around them, and I was funny, and they liked me. And I never stopped thinking about alcohol after that. I mean, I did go to class, and I didn't drink every weekend, but I thought about it. I thought about, how am I going to get alcohol? And I remember my roommate and I, one night, we went out to go get drunk, go to some parties, and we were incredibly unsuccessful, but I had, like, a little bit of alcohol in me. And we got back to the dorm room, and I remember I was so upset. And she was like, what's the big deal? Let's just do our homework. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I had just a little bit, and that wasn't enough. I'm not, wasted. And I ended up getting into a relationship with a guy who was older than me, and so my alcohol supply was consistent. And then I remember that UC Davis was kind of challenging, and I was more interested in drinking, and I made a decision for alcoholism. I made a decision to switch to Chico State, which is a school where I could be drunk and successful at the same time. And I was for a while, at least at the drunk part. And it was not a hard school for me because I'm bright, like many of us are. I was very bright, and I knew how to get by. I knew how to pass the test. I knew how to write the paper that the teacher wanted to read, although I'd learned very little. And so one day I thought, I think it might be more fun to go to class drunk. So I did, and it was. Well, I thought I was. And then pretty soon I started drinking every day. And I was convinced to myself it was for a good reason. It would be fun or exciting. And it's way more fun to go grocery shopping on vodka, you know. And the guy I was with at the time, he noticed that I was drinking quite a bit, that the alcohol supply was quickly going away. And he said to me one night, Michelle, it seems like you've been drinking a lot. You know, maybe you could stop. And I was like, sure, no problem. And it was a problem. I stopped drinking at like 6 o'clock that night, and the next morning I woke up shaking. I couldn't get dressed. I couldn't function. And so he took me to the health center, and the doctor's like, what's going on here? And I said, well, you know, I stopped drinking last night at 6 o'clock, and I'm having trouble. And so he gave me some clonopin, which I guess is supposed to calm you down. I think he said don't drink on it. I don't know. But it stopped the shake so that I could drink, and I drank on it. And so this poor guy, he didn't know what to do, so he called my mother. And she drove up to Chico, and she got me and took me down to the McDonald's Center. And I didn't know what that meant, but I went to treatment, and it was a fun game for me. I did not take it seriously, but the good news is that they did talk about Alcoholics Anonymous, and they talked about what it meant to be an alcoholic, and I think I might have heard them. But most importantly, they said, when you leave here, you should go to meetings. And so I did. I started going to a morning meeting every morning at 7 a.m., and I didn't have it. I didn't drink for maybe 60 days, and then I thought to myself, this might be really fun if I was drinking. And I was. And nobody said leave. They just let me sit there drunk. And I did that for about 6 months until I finally got to that point where I couldn't live with or without alcohol. My life, there was nothing to my life except for going to meetings drunk. And somebody who in this program, instead of saying you have to leave, instead of saying you smell like alcohol, they said, here's a piece of gum. And they said, you know, we know you've been drinking and we don't want you to die. And something about that morning, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, I was drunk on cheap tequila. And I was also super sober at that exact moment. And I asked for help. I said, I can't do this anymore and I need your help. And I asked help of another alcoholic and they gave it. You guys gave it to me. And I worked the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm in the middle of my fourth time going through them. And each time has been deeper and better, and I have a relationship with a power greater than myself, which is truly miraculous. And you know, on the tokens, which I've gotten a couple for my 8 years, it has service, unity, and recovery. And for me, the recovery part is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is the program of recovery right here. If when I did these, and when I continue to do them and practice these principles on all my affairs, my life is amazing, and I have a relationship with a power greater than myself. One of the other legs is unity, which is the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's just unity in the groups and unity with my fellows. And today I'm able to have relationships with other people. And the big book, it says, you know, when they're talking about an idea of God, they say, you know, it's in every man, woman, and child. It's like the feeling you would have for a friend. And I read that when I was new, and I didn't know what that meant because I didn't know what it meant to have a friend or have a feeling for a friend. And, like, today I am in love with my friends, and I have relationships that are amazing. And then the third leg is service, which is – there are actually 12 concepts of world service in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's how AA as a whole is run. And a lot of people read service as service in a meeting, which is also a really big part of my sobriety, because the only way I can get out of myself is to help you. Whether it's helping you as a general service representative for a meeting or participating in AA as a whole, or whether it's helping by setting up chairs, helping by taking another alcoholic through the steps, answering my phone. These are all the things I do to stay sober today. And, you know, alcohol is truly but a symptom of this disease I have. And like somebody said, like, why do you keep going to these meetings? You know, it's like, well, why do I keep praying? You know, am I ever going to stop praying? Is it ever going to be enough? And, you know, the alcohol is but a symptom. Just like if I went to the doctor over and over again, I said, I have a headache. They'd be like, well, what's really going on? And what's really going on is I have this spiritual malady, and the only solution for me is that relationship with a power greater than myself, which I get through prayer and meditation, and I also get through sitting here and looking at all of you guys and talking to another alcoholic. So thank you for being here for me.